with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its scenes while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stabbed flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more, people talking,
Jeffrey Bennett sitting in for John tonight in the National Intel Report. On this 15th day of November, since I was with you during this time slot nearly a month ago, I've seen little to no positive change. In the words of, I don't remember who, Marvin Gaye, I think, don't you? No, I heard it through the grapevine. I'm just about to lose my mind. Adam Schiff's Kangaroo Court is a disgusting display of skewed justice and partisanship. The Democrats made sure the rules of the game were changed in order to help sway the case against Trump. Hearsay evidence is suddenly golden. And the CIA's so-called whistleblower, Eric CIA Aramella, is protected at every turn, even though he's grossly prejudiced against Trump. He's an Obama plant whose task was to invent something that could be used to impeach the president. And laughably, Schiff claims to not even know his name, even though he was likely involved in the conspiracy from the very beginning. But then you see Schiff is a colossal liar. He should take the stand and be grilled. There is no viable case for impeachment, but the purpose is to harass and defame Trump in the hopes that it will affect his re-election next year. They can't beat him the fair way. So expect the dirty tricks to continue throughout 2020. Meanwhile, Schiff will continue to act as the voice of the deep state, a hearsay talking dummy. That's my sole comments about the issue. You see, my friends, one of the problems with our society is there's no longer any shame. Christopher McDougall, in his book Born to Run, A Hidden Tribe, Super Athletes and the Greatest Race in the World Has Never Seen, stated that every morning in Africa, a gazelle wakes up. It knows it must outrun the fastest lion or it'll be killed. Every morning in Africa, a lion wakes up. It knows it must run faster than the slowest gazelle or it will starve. Doesn't matter whether you're the lion or the gazelle, when the sun comes up, you better be running. Have you noticed there's more hippos these days and fewer lions and gazelles? One of the problems with our society is that there's no longer any shame. We see it every day, everywhere, such as going through the lunch line behind morbidly obese Americans and watching in disgust as 300 to 400 pounds of fat orders a double nachos with extra hamburgers, sopapillas, and an extra large Coke. As a libertarian thinker, I ask myself, why should I care? The answer is that I care because in our increasingly entitled socialist nation, I'm probably paying for that over-consumer's health insurance and health care. And if you're not yet totally disgusted, then I invite you to watch an episode of My 600-Pound Life, a program filmed in Texas. The author is quite familiar with certain members of the production, considering that almost all of these morbidly obese patients and many of their codependent enablers live entirely on government entitlements. To put it bluntly, they vote for a living. And if you pay taxes, then you're paying for their triple cheeseburgers, their housing, their heavy-duty moving equipment, their emotional therapy, and their health care. Well, so what do? Well, in my case, first when the overstuffed person glances at me after placing his 2,500-calorie order, I do not pretend that I do not notice the poor consumer choice he's making, but instead I shake my head and look him in the eye with a brutally honest look of pure and complete disgust. Is this wrong? Maybe. But it's certainly honest. What is wrong, I believe, is lying by pretending that there is no shame. How can I bring myself to do this, you might ask? The answer is simply that I have concluded I am, in fact, morally compelled to act in this manner. You see, many years ago, while raising Little Horseman, my wife and I learned an important truism in parenting and in life. It's not loving to accept wrong behavior. And so if I choose to love my neighbor, and I do, then I need to not be accepting of his wrong behavior. But the second thing we try to do is to try to keep ourselves in good shape. Sometimes, like now, I get a little behind, but I'm always able to get myself back on track. Which brings us to the point of this commentary. First of all, like Dave Ramsey explains in his excellent course, Financial Peace University, when you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. Don't wait until after the holidays to get fit. Don't wait until after the weekend to get fit. Don't wait until tomorrow to get fit. Start, begin today. And here's how we're going to do it. I hope maybe some of you will join me. First, I've learned that it's absolutely critical for me to have an objectively measured goal, to be able to easily track the progress on a daily basis. Well, if we don't get ourselves on a healthy diet and move in the right direction, it's real simple. Your gun belt shrinks. Yeah. If you're not careful, your gun belt shrinks. Now, we could go on and on and on with this, but weight is not the total issue. Exercise is not the total issue. That's not what I particularly want to do. No. We've got issues in this nation, my friend. There are issues around the world. A short time ago, one of my contributing writers, Justin O. Smith, who sent me a note last night that he is taking a hiatus from Facebook. He's had it. Now, think about this in these terms. With all that's going on in this nation and around the world, with the crybabies that live in mommy and daddy's basements, the Antifa, the LGBTQs, the I just have never seen so much hate in my life. I'm not sure they understand why they hate. I think they hate because it feels good for them to hate. Second Timothy 3:1-4 states that this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. In a deranged world, my friends, turned upside down, in these divided states of America, it is America's sane patriots who are labeled insane while her people suffer under the final stages of cultural Marxism. Society is being turned upside down through the Democratic Party's attempts at enforcing their twisted morality on all of us as they externalize conservatives. Christians and Trump supporters, as their enemies, they use anything they can to smite us down in their bid for power, discovering satisfaction and destruction as an end in itself, making their lives seem to have greater meaning by way of their bedlam and chaos. And thus, the stage has been set for an epic war for the heart and the soul of America, waged between the would-be tyrants and liberty-minded Americans, between evil and good, dark and light. Every Trump supporter has most certainly dealt with their dastardly opponents of late, with many of the leftists seeming to justify any act they choose in their so-called resistance against the administration and his supporters. Void of reason and persuasion, today's Democratic Party members are essentially communists of the Antifa mentality, seeking to destroy our republic by any means necessary through physical violence, while the party's more timid members still resort to sneering and slander, intimidation and threats. Asking a demon crap to try to work within the existing capitalist system and respect and honor our American heritage today is nearly the same as asking the protagonist, Bosorov, of Fathers and Children to work to make a better world and hearing the words that that's not for us to do. First, the ground must be cleared. The author, Ivan Turgenev, disavowed political and social institutions in much the same way as today's Democrats disavow the federal institutions and the founding of America herself. These nihilists and communists are always ready with their brass knuckles, clubs, pepper spray, their knives, oh, sometimes firearms, to create mayhem in a crowd, just as they have done this past year alone in Portland and Minneapolis, Austin, Tacoma. They see emerging neo-Nazis under every rock, and behind every tree, and in any city, one sees Antifa. One witnesses them smashing reporters' cameras, sometimes their heads, beating down opposition protesters and the occasional unfortunate lone passerby as their criminal and vicious group storm the streets. Too often with the police simply stepping out of the way wherever the leftists control the city government. In late October, just about 3 weeks ago, so-called street artist Winston Singh went around New York City pasting posters over city garbage bins that depicted his own hatred of white Christians and conservatives. Now, one image showed a white woman wearing a Make America Great Again hat and holding the Bible with a big red line drawn through them, with another showing a man with a MAGA hat, a tattoo of a Confederate flag, and a Chick-fil-A cup in his hand. And yet below both posters read the world, "Keep New York City trash free." Sen noted he was justified because Trump's presidency reflects a lot of hate from white Christians. And although New York City has removed most of those posters, as of 2 weeks ago, this is the prevalent mindset one finds in and around the city. And it is the exact same mindset that drives most of leftist America today, from Oakland to Portland and back again to Connecticut and all four corners of this nation, even in cities like Nashville and Memphis. October 10th, after Trump's presidential campaign rally, the chaos in the streets of Minneapolis was nearly as bad as it was after the election of Trump in 2016. Just wait for the reaction in 2020 and the certain violence to follow. And for decades now, leftist professors like Stanislav Vysotsky at the University of Wisconsin have planted the seeds of this discord and violence by advocating the use of force and violence to give rise to communism in America. And just 4 months ago, Vysotsky wrote, "On America's streets, Antifa's militant anti-fascism is not terrorism. It is self-defense." Too many Americans, my friends, have fallen into the trap of allowing the Marxists of America to equate one's love for America and a strong nationalist support of America to being a fascist or worse, a white supremacist fascist. There's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong at all with being white and a nationalist who loves America, or black and a nationalist, or any person of any color who simply loves America and all her traditional virtues and principles. Are we perfect? Of course not. But what nation is? What peoples are? Being a nationalist is not anything remotely close to being a white supremacist or a fascist. The American patriot of today is a person of any color who wishes to preserve America's national sovereignty, their individual sovereignty, and those original founding principles that birthed her. No, the real fascists are Antifa, which is interesting because their name means anti-fascist. But that's the gameplay. You see, they don't believe in the self-determination of nations nor individuals. They oppose the mechanisms of freedom and liberty, giving preference to strong men and those anointed to lead, or as it was in the past, to dictate and rule, as they seemingly follow the leadership principle out of Nazi Germany and the notion of leaders who stand above the law. You see, true fascism, Antifa-style fascism, has deeper roots in American history than most care to acknowledge. During the 1920s and 30s, we experienced a massive surge towards fascism in our nation. And fascism really took off when William Dudley Pelley, a radical journalist from Massachusetts, founded the paramilitary Silver Shirts in 1933. Apathetic and complacent. You see, too many Americans are missing warning signs of the rise of the most critical moments in American history. As the unhinged Democratic Party are drafting articles of impeachment at this very moment. Obviously, this was written several weeks ago. They most certainly plan to vote to impeach Trump before the end of the year. But their irresponsible actions are setting the stage for events that will burn beyond anyone's control, and although still a remote likelihood, if the Senate rhinos should join with America's traitors and actually remove Trump from office, all hell is going to break loose in this country. Because far too much of the population would instantly lose faith in our political system, those who still have any left. And there will be widespread civil strife in our streets. Well, the first 2 days of the impeachment hearings have been a pretty intense joke. I choose not to watch it. I'll see a headline now and then as I get emails or something. And my wife gets home every day and two things. Her telephone goes on and the cable, we don't have cable TV, but the internet goes on the TV and she just starts watching reruns of Fox News and God, what else, all day long, to the point I want to scream. And she wonders why each and every night, no later than 8 or 9 o'clock at night, I walk out of here for an hour to 2 hours because I can't stomach it any longer. But consider this. If Trump is reelected, expect massive levels of street violence from America's ordinary socialist and communist types, but especially from Antifa. And if he doesn't get reelected, expect violence from an emboldened mass of socialists who continue to use violence as a tool to push their sympathizers and the White House staff to implement their agenda. So I submit to you that no matter what happens, 1 year from this month, all hell is going to break loose. Think of the reaction from conservatives and the GOP if Trump is actually illegitimately and illegally impeached and removed from office before the next election. Think of the reaction from conservatives and the GOP. Well, the GOP has already shown themselves to have no balls. Cojones, testicles. I don't want to use a word that might offend somebody. We'll talk about that later in the program today. Republicans have done nothing. And frankly, the majority of so-called conservatives, so-called Christian, God-fearing Americans sit back at home quietly. And they go to church or they turn on their television and listen to Joel Osteen on Sunday. And they don't say or do a damn thing. And so I submit to you, the listener tonight, what are you doing? You just sitting back praying about it, or are you getting involved trying to stop this? Because if you don't get prepared now, it's going to be too late to stop this. And we will have civil war. But then maybe that's what some of you want. America, my friends, has entered uncharted territory. Unlike and yet similar to the days in the lead up to that thing that was referred to as a civil war. It's a situation that does not appear to lend itself to any good ending. But keep in mind, our first civil war was the American Revolution. That other thing nearly 100 years later wasn't a civil war at all. That was something totally different. Our second civil war cometh. October the 23rd, the Georgetown Institute of Politics and Public Service took a survey of 1,000 registered voters that rated the division in America using a scale of 0 to 100, with 100 being classified as the edge of civil war. The average response tallied at over 67%. Even if Trump wasn't in office, the seething hatred between the conservatives and the Marxists would still be heavy across this nation. And although most Americans would not offhanded seek to engage in civil war, we certainly don't wish it upon the nation, most of us see it as nearly inevitable, given the current political environment in this country. This is a hard, cold, silent rage building among those of us who love America so well. It cannot be readily quantified specifically, since it is a thing most of us don't openly discuss in open company, even private company. And instead, it's been pent up and held inside as we have quietly absorbed each betrayal of our trust that further erodes the Republic and our liberty. I've got to hope that that's where most of you sit tonight. America has witnessed its police officers and regular citizens attacked by thugs during recent riots and the rise of lawlessness and sanctuaries for the lawless. We've been preyed upon, and that's P-R-E-Y-E-D, by paid operatives of the organized DNC machine. We know the game. Despite the media's denial, and we have paid close attention, absorbing every bit of it. And a lot of Americans see the betrayals clearly. We see the borders intentionally left open. We've witnessed the Islamic terrorists commit one attack after another within our country, while oily, smooth-talking, disingenuous politicians seem befuddled as to the motivation behind the attacks. Our American flag is abused by the anti-American left. Activist judges still attempt to push prayer from our schools and our communities. And most recently, the nation has witnessed the most egregious, heinous act of treason play out in the media as our nation's intelligence apparatus was weaponized to mount a soft coup by former President Obama and his deep state bureaucratic holdovers, while more traitors sanctimoniously declared there was no crime committed in their cowardly attempt to avoid accountability and prosecution. Oh, and let's not forget all the marvelous little ragheads, towelheads, you know, some of those that Obama let come in and take over areas of Tennessee and Minnesota. More and more of them are getting elected to public office, and you people are damn near asleep allowing it to happen. The door has closed for the moment on restoring any higher level of civility to our politics. Because they're currently, since they're currently, any further compromise by Republicans means the end of this republic. The Democrats, they're beyond compromise. There's a demand total, they demand total submission. And in the end of the republic, in exchange for an authoritarian socialist state in which the Bill of Rights no longer exists. Democrat or Republican, not one of the current presidential candidates care to maintain the facade of even representing all Americans or ironing out the country's divisions after the elections. The new real politics of the day is about winning either a conservative liberty-leaning America or a Marxist authoritarian America, but not both. And the candidates are already being far more open about this dynamic as they seek to win at all costs. Some have, thankfully, already dropped out. The consensus, you see, seems to be that 51% of the electorate will do, and the rest can suffer for choosing the losing side. Politics? It's a peaceable means of war. And the red radical Democratic Party communist rat bastards have been waging war against our Constitution and America since the Wilson presidency of 1913. And against Trump since November 9th of 2016. Oh, they may have been firing duds for the past 3 years, but they keep reloading and shooting, and it's taking us to a point where they will necessarily need to be answered decisively and definitively, not just with strong words and rebukes. Wrap your head around the idea, my friends, because whether it's a two-day fight or one of years-long duration and a hard journey, that day of reckoning is coming. And the people you'll be forced to fight as a matter of survival, down and dirty, will all probably live within 5 to 50 miles of your home or be blood relatives. It won't be Beto or Beto or the federal government or Homeland Security knocking on your door to confiscate your firearms or haul you to the boxcars. Those people who will try are already living and working nearby, whether anyone knows it or not. And on that day of reckoning, each of us in the fight will be tasked to locate and destroy the enemy, whether in hand-to-hand combat or maneuvering and firing from a long-range distance, just like any other good infantryman has done for centuries in their wars for resources and land and freedom and liberty. My friends, Americans have beaten fanatics like Antifa and much of the Democratic Party in our lifetime. But generally, it took some hard and decisive actions to get their attention. Nothing has changed in that regard. And those of us who love this country so well are going to have to make them clearly understand we ain't buying their new world view. And if they insist on imposing it upon us, we'll gladly send them to their maker, Satan. Is waiting for them. We're going to go to a break here in a moment. When we come back, I'm going to continue on this diatribe of mine. I seem to be able to come to you once a month. I'd like to do it more often. A different time slot from that which I host on Tuesday and Thursday afternoons. It's something I need to do this. It's something I need to wake and shake people up. When we come back, we're going to go back in history about 2 years, almost 3 years now. We're going to talk a little bit about Laban Finicum. Stay with us.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Well, it's all.
Someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond ring.
Well, it's all right, even if they say you're wrong. Well, it's all right. Sometimes you gotta be strong. Well, it's all right.
It's as long as you got difficult for me turn away from that piece of music. Do you realize of the four main singers in that group, three of them are gone? Tom Petty, George Harrison, the most talented Beatle in my estimation, Roy Orbison. And the only one that's still alive is the one that I would have thought would have probably passed away much sooner. Dylan. Bob Dylan. Amazing piece of music. I always try to make music a part of programming I do. I didn't choose that particular one, but I certainly applaud it. Nearly 4 years ago, a man who was out defending property rights and human dignity was killed by government agents. It's not the first time we've seen this. We saw this happen years before in a place called Ruby Ridge up in Idaho. Maybe one of these days I'll have the ability to play the audio transcript of a video that I made with Sarah, Randy Weaver's daughter, done many years ago down in an expo in Texas. We then, of course, saw what took place outside of Waco, Texas. Government doesn't seem to care. They get away scot-free. Their criminal murderers are let off the hook because they were doing their job. But nearly 4 years ago, Lavoie Finicum faced very much the same thing. And he was on a road trip into town to attempt to help negotiate some settlement with what was going on. They forced him out of the car, and even federal cameras caught him being murdered. You see, if the federal authorities had been serious about desiring a peaceful resolution to that conflict, they could have coordinated with Sheriff Palmer to arrest Finicum, if just cause existed for arrest. They knew Finicum's destination. But instead, they chose to shoot him numerous times and refuse him medical attention from Virginia Sharp, a trained EMT, his friend, as he lay on the snowy ground dying. They murdered Lavoie on a lonely, desolate stretch of Highway 395. One quiet man in his fight for freedom. Nisi once said, "Destroyers are they who lay snares for many and call up the state." On this day in January, upcoming, which is not that far away, just a little over, but 2 months. Think about it. It's been that long. January 26th, which, interestingly enough, happened to be my mother and stepfather's anniversary of their marriage. On that day, in 2 more months, Americans should pause and take some time to recall and celebrate the life of Robert Lavoie Finicum, an American patriot who loved his family, God, country. He placed his life on the line in defense of all Americans' rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. As he joined the ranks of thousands of other ranchers who've been fighting the overreaches of the federal government and the tyranny of the BLM for the past 40 years. Finicum died on January the 26th of 2016, one day before his 55th birthday. And in doing that, he was defending the U.S. Constitution and this America he loved so well. By all accounts, Finicum was a quiet man who worked his to-do list from sunup to sundown. He had a light reading list that included many history books, the Constitution, Alexis de Tocqueville's Democracy in America. And he also thoroughly enjoyed his big family, his wife, his 11 children, and their evening discussions on Scripture, the Constitution, the Founding Fathers' ideas on freedom. Now, Finicum had generally viewed his interactions with the BLM to be very good over the years. He became active in opposing them in 2014 after the BLM fined him $12,000 and claimed his cattle had grazed on federal lands past his allotted permit time. He was also heavily influenced by his own research into the BLM and the high-handed tactics he witnessed the BLM employ against the Bundy family 2 years before. Finicum rode with Cliven and Ammon Bundy on their Nevada ranch in April of 2014, along with hundreds of other supporters, in order to reinforce the fact that Bundy's grazing and water rights, documented in an 1878 title, predated any BLM claims and had to be honored by the BLM. And when the BLM moved along Interstate 15 to confiscate Bundy's cattle on April the 5th of that year, Finnicum, the Bundy family members, and well-armed supporters stopped them cold where they stood, which would become a real sore point for the FBI that carried over to the Malheur Wildlife Reserve occupation in 2016 and the standoff near Burns, Oregon. And after the Bundy Ranch standoff, Lavoie Finnicum said, "I had to do a lot of soul searching. I realized that Cliven Bundy was standing on a very strong constitutional principle, and yet here I was continuing to pay a grazing fee to the BLM. Finnicum of the Bundy clan understood that the Enclave Clause, that's Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 of the Constitution, did not allow government bureaucrats to act like kings and ignore the Ninth and Tenth Amendments. And it did not authorize the BLM to arbitrarily seize the water rights, the cattle, the property of ranchers, and arrogantly nullify 200 years of constitutional history. They understood, much like the U.S. Supreme Court in New York versus U.S., that the Constitution is not a tool to protect the sovereignty of the state or for the benefit of government officials, but rather the Constitution secures all Americans' liberties through the diffusion of sovereign power. And yet the BLM sees things differently. Many cases spanning the years can be found that are similar to Raymond Yowell's experience. The BLM garnished the $200 Social Security check of this former chief of the Shoshone Indian tribe and seized 132 head of his cattle in 2002 for allegedly grazing unlawfully on government lands. BLM sold Yowell's cattle at auction and pocketed the money. Between 06 and 2012, the BLM had intimidated and finally charged Stephen and Dwight Hammond with 9 federal counts of arson for setting backfires on their own lands that allegedly spread to federal land. The Hammonds were subsequently imprisoned, released, sent back to prison, even though the facts illuminated that some of those out-of-control backfires actually originated with BLM employees in an attempt to stop several lightning strike fires, such as the Grandad fire that burned 46,000 acres. All the great ideas and principles that shaped America went with Lavoie Finnicum as he and many other American patriots occupied Oregon's Malheur. That's French for misfortune or tragedy, by the way. The Malheur National Wildlife Refuge, 30 miles from Burns, Oregon. All in order to force the return of 188,000 acres to local control and the release of the Hammond brothers from prison. And they acted through peaceful political protests, even though they were armed to ensure the security of their protest. And they advocated for property and states' rights as they took a hard stand against federal ownership of 250 million acres in America and years of oppression by the BLM and several other government agencies, including the EPA. 25 days into the protests, Robert Lavoie Finnicum, Ammon and Ryan Bundy, Shauna Cox, Ryan Payne, Virginia Sharp headed to John Day, Oregon for a singing, or I can't tell if that's singing or signing. Probably signing. A meeting with Grant County Sheriff Glenn Palmer to discuss their demands, explain their views to local people, seek a peaceful end to this standoff. But they were ambushed along the way by the Oregon State Patrol and the FBI's hostage rescue team, which used combat-grade operation protocols rather than civilian deadly force standards, firing once without warning at the initial stop, according to many witnesses, and numerous times at the second roadblock using concussion and live rounds. Does this remind anyone else of Ruby Ridge and the murders of Weaver's wife and son by the FBI? If the federal authorities had been serious about desiring a peaceful resolution to that conflict, they could have coordinated with Palmer to arrest Finnicum, if just cause existed for an arrest. They knew where Finnicum was going. But no, instead they chose to shoot him numerous times and refuse him medical attention. They murdered him on that lonely, desolate stretch of Highway 395. If the FBI had negotiated Finnicum's peaceful surrender, as they certainly could have, he would simply have been taken into custody and released after his acquittal by a jury, just in the same manner that a jury acquitted his so-called co-conspirators in October of 2016, including Ammon Bundy and a friend and activist Shauna Cox. And it should alarm each and every one of you out there listening tonight that the HRT agents initially concealed the fact that they had fired their weapons during the stop. Well, upon her release, Shauna Cox made a plea before a mass of TV cameras and supporters, imploring, "We have to be vigilant people. Wake up, America, and help us restore the Constitution. Don't sleep with your head in the sand." Isn't it odd that the FBI agents who are sworn to protect and defend the Constitution, lawyers all, regularly side with government-imposed tyranny against U.S. citizens? Arianna Finnicum Brown, LaVoy's 27-year-old daughter, stated shortly after his death, "My dad was such a good man through and through. He would never want to hurt somebody, but he does believe in defending freedom, and he knew the risks involved." And during his funeral, his brother, Guy Finnicum, remarked on LaVoy's deep faith in God, adding that he had absolute confidence that he will be with his family again. He believed that as much as he believes the sun will rise, and that's what gave him the ability to do what he did. He always looked at a higher goal. My friends, when any government, including ours, puts forth its strength on the side of injustice and murders fine men like LaVoy Finnicum, it reveals itself as a mere brute force, and it becomes more apparent, more than ever, that tyranny rules. And other patriots are served warning to desist their opposition or meet the same fate. What are Americans to think of a government to which all the truly brave and just men of this land are enemies, standing between it and those whom it oppresses? Finnicum did not recognize unjust human laws and persistently stood for the dignity of human nature, knowing himself for a man, the equal of any government. He regularly fought against established injustices and the hypocrisy and the hypocrites of bureaucracies who seemed to ask, "Why do you assault us?" And LaVoy's death, the death of an American hero, was like the death of an American hero was like the planting of a good seed. And pray God it's giving rise to a new crop of American heroes. But then you see, my friends, it's nearly 4 years later. Who remembers? I do. Many of you do. My friend Maggie Rose does. It is horrendously sad what we're living through. What in the world has happened to the America that we grew up in? Some months back, I put pen to paper, which I rarely get to do anymore. And I posted something I'm going to share with you in a few moments. It'll carry over to the next hour. And yet, that which I wrote and added something else written by someone else seems to grow in importance in each passing day. Listen for the first time. I'm going to tell you where you can go read it. And sometimes that becomes important, to sit down, to read it, and read it again, and share it with others. In April of this year, late at night, I sat down and began to write. And I stated that I've been in a state of proverbial funk for nearly a year. Previous July, I'd made the decision to shut down Federal Observer after 17 years of publication, only to slowly change gears for God knows what reason. Over those past, at that time, 9+ months, the site, although looking much the same, has taken some new directions. or in some cases readdressing old topics, which still drive me to this day. I'll not draw you a map today, I stated. You may review the site in your own time and come to your own conclusions. And that is where I stand at this point. Conclusions. Or more specifically, the conclusion of this once great nation. Make America great again? Forget it. I don't believe it'll ever happen. I think we're near the end of this journey. Now, that may come as a shock to many of you. Look around you. There's going to be no one to stand up and fight for us except us, we the people. Back at the time that I wrote that paragraph in April of 2019, I had recently reposted an article from 2015 by my friend Michael Gaddy, which seemed to have greater importance today than when he originally penned it. In the article, which I've reposted, we invite people to go read it. Because it spells out the predicament we in America find ourselves in today. In an article entitled, Addicted to Our Own Destruction. And much of it brings me to my conditions of perpetual frustration and depression. I continued that, as I do nearly each day, I publish the best of our four active websites on Facebook. Sometimes they land me in Facebook jail or bring about the deletions of numerous posts which I've made, usually within minutes. Back in April, I wrote a publication called The Facebook Chronicles, and once again, they violated my freedom and as relates to anything regarding health and wellness. They seemed to bump it out a lot. But I'm going to lay out a little bit of a map for you. When I posted Gaddy's article on Facebook, I received the following question from a dear lady who I've become Facebook friends with. We'll just refer to her by the name I've affectionately given her, Cat. She said, why is it so hard to do what is right? And I responded by saying, as I sit at my desk each night preparing posts for my various blogs and going through this thing called Facebook, I'm now convinced that it can never be again, Cat. Not in our lifetime. I've never felt so down and depressed in my life as I do today. People just do not know right from wrong. The schools, entertainment, the media, the lack of parental involvement, if there are parents in their lives anyway, have all contributed to the demise of the empire. I prepare for my journey, Cat. I'm tired. I'm worn out. And her reply was the one thing that gave me pause to smile on the day that I wrote this. She said, that's the right step to prepare, Jeffrey. You've done all you can do, and you did it well. The die has been set. Very few will change their minds at this point in time. They've been blinded. I'm happy you're a part of the remnant. And then she followed up with a note in private messenger. She said, I'm sending out contact information to a select few friends that I value and trust in case of emergency. I may need to tell you what's going on in my part of the country. You may need to tell me what's going on in yours. I can hardly stand Facebook any longer, so don't know when I'll be bailing. The die has been cast, my friends, and her feelings as well as mine and millions of others are tired of the games. And as I stated in my Facebook Chronicles article, Facebook is no longer a social network, but a socialist network. And apparently America is no longer a nation that tolerates free speech other than for certain people. Interestingly enough, the title of the column I'm sharing with you was actually the subtitle of a column from Michael Snyder that I had just finished posting about an hour before I posted this. The question, what in the world has happened to the America we grew up in? Well, and then something else came to me. A single lengthy comment left by one reader who calls him or herself Mucky Little Me. But what the author states merely lays out the roadmap as to how we got here. Understanding the world and how and why we got here. Mucky starts, it's not just the U.S., but right across the West, because it's the same globalist social engineering program. Political correctness is a major tool of that social engineering program. It is top-down fascistic authoritarianism, was introduced a couple of decades ago under the guise of liberalism and promoted through all the usual suspects, fake news, MSM, establishment, the globalist institutions. Of course, another major tool is mass immigration, which has been engineered and outlined in the UN Agenda 21 in 1993. Oh, that reminds me. You think I jest with that issue about the immigration situation? The continued conflicting stories about immigration. Here's a brand new bill that's been placed before the House of Representatives, H.R. 4916, the Farm Workforce Modernization Act. And that bill, if approved, would give amnesty to farm workers and their family members. And their family members. If I'm not mistaken, that includes up to 21 people per person can be brought in. This legislation would amnesty illegal agricultural workers and greatly expand the number of H-2A visas issued each year. And under the legislation, millions of illegal farm workers and their families will receive an amnesty. Plus, the bill would greatly expand the agricultural guest worker program to include dairy, meat packing, food processing, and canning, putting more American workers out of work and at risk. These are the kind of things we're looking at each and every day. I read another interview today that we're seeing more and more United Nations involvement in this country, people. At this very moment, I can't think, but there's two stories I've read most recently about the UN drastically moving into certain areas, setting up camp, as it were. Consider the term political correctness, if you will. Our politics are merely opinions. And we'll talk about this when we come back. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.